T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What's going on? Good morning. It is August 4th, and Vince Coakley is not me. I am not him. He's feeling a little under the weather today, and so I am Pete Callender filling in for him. I am a former radio host, radio reporter. I do my own show on radio.com. It's a free daily podcast of North Carolina focused topics, and so feel free to check that out. I appreciate it, but we are going to talk a little bit about some of the impact of this hurricane that, luckily for us, I'd say it moved very quickly. And luckily for me, I have Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel joining me. Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. How you been?
I'm doing all right. So I wanted to talk with Mark, first off, because he is a meteorologist. And ostensibly, that means he can predict the future. And the other reason is that I talked with Mark basically every day for about 8 years almost when I was a former radio host. And I just felt like this would be a good time to reconnect with him. So how are you doing? I got to ask, how's life treating you? You're in the bunker during the COVID times.
Life is interesting. That's for sure. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of work out of the house, broadcasting out of the house since mid-March now. It's been a little bit like Groundhog Day, you know, one day kind of after the other, but you know, at least the weather changes a little bit, so that adds some interesting twists every once in a while. But it's been about like everybody else, you know, just trying to stay safe and trying to come up with some kind of a routine. You know, the mm-hmm. weather always provides a varying routine, so that's good. And
so your commute is
a whole lot of it.
Yeah, your commute is much easier now than it was. I mean, I think the last time, right, because you're down in the Atlanta area, and there was like a bridge that caught fire on your commute or something. So, like, way less dangerous now, I would assume.
Yeah, the only thing I have to worry about now is maybe if I burn a piece of toast or something.
Right. all right, well, let's talk about, yeah. So first, all right, pronounce this hurricane's name for me, because I'm just calling it Isaias, okay? That's like, I'm just calling it Isaias.
Isaias.
Well, who came up with this name?
I don't know. It wasn't me. I just kind of looked at the list, and I was like, okay, that's going to be an interesting pronunciation.
Right.
but, yeah, Isaias. It doesn't sound like Isaias.
Isaias.
You don't think it would sound like Isaias the way it's spelled, but that's how it's pronounced.
Isaias.
If we get another one, which I'm sure we'll have another one at some point, it will be Josephine.
Okay. I can handle
Josephine.
That one.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Easier to spell, easier to say.
Yeah. So what happened? This thing was last I heard before I went to bed, it was a tropical storm, I thought. And then I woke up and like, oh, no, it's back to being a hurricane. And then it was a tropical storm. And, oh, there are tornadoes. So what happened? This thing made landfall at like 11 o'clock last night, right?
Yeah, late last night it came ashore right around Wilmington, that area. And then it's going north. It just went up through the Delmarva. That's where it's right now. It's headed basically right over Philadelphia at the moment. It's going to be spend the afternoon kind of scraping across New Jersey and then up across New York State by the evening hours. So
did you say? Hang on. Did you say Delmarva?
Delmarva.
Is that Delaware, Maryland, Virginia?
Yep.
I have never heard of that before. I'm like 46. Delmarva, yeah. I've never heard this term. Is that a normal term, or is that like a weather lingo term?
I think it's like a mid-Atlantic lingo. Yeah, it's but they call it the lower shore, you know, sometimes.
Okay.
Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, that area. It's going basically the Chesapeake Bay area.
Okay.
That's where it's right now. And it's causing, the winds are 70 miles an hour. There's gusts to 85. It's moving straight north. It's going to go across Jersey just like a bullet this afternoon, very quickly. It's going to bring a surge of rain and wind. It's going to probably be in New York City by mid to late afternoon, if not a little sooner, bringing a surge of rain and wind to those guys, and then into the upstate of New York and into New England overnight tonight and into Wednesday with more rain and more wind. The biggest danger with this is going to be down trees, down power lines. Could be some roadway flooding and some coastal flooding at the Jersey Shore right up to the south side of Long Island. So there could be some flooding going on there across the Rockaways on Long Island. We'll see a whole lot of Soundside flooding on Long Island, the North Shore because of Long Island, or the South Shore of, you know, the Connecticut Shore, if you will, because of the way it's positioned. But the South Shore of Long Island could get some flooding. Could be some flooding potentially in New York Harbor and some of those little inlets that stick out like Coney Island. They could be looking at the potential for some flooding there. But as far as we're concerned down here, we're done. I mean, it's out of here. It did its damage last night, well to our east. It's moving north, and it's the northeast today and into tonight. A little bit of New England's route, and then it's out of here. There's another area of disturbed weather out in the Atlantic, but it's developing slow, and it's not moving very quick, so we have a lot of time to watch that one. Good news there.
It's funny you mentioned that disturbed weather. That was the name of my high school band, actually, the Garage Band. Anyway, so this thing was moving so fast, right? This thing was moving so fast, and I guess that's why a lot of these areas are going to be spared. It seems like some of the worst of the flooding. I know after hurricanes, even like a lot of times they'll just kind of, they're really slow and they'll just park themselves, and you just end up with all of this rain, and that's where you get a lot of that inland flooding. So does that mean we avoid all of that?
Well, yeah, we avoid what could otherwise be, you know, a lot of catastrophic flooding. And these things slow down sometimes across the southern Appalachians. They just simply dump rain. There's terrain enhancement that occurs because of the mountains. So it rains double-digit totals sometimes when we have some of these going by. But this one's on the move. What it's doing is it's kind of linking up with a front that's moving in from the upstate of New York and western Pennsylvania. And it's catching a ride aboard that. Jet stream's in there as well. So that's helped moving it along. So what that does is that it does one good thing. It decreases your flood potential because it's moving, so it doesn't have time to dump 10, 15 inches of rain. Rainfall totals are more like 2 to 4 inches, locally higher amounts, so that's manageable. Still going to be some street flooding here and there, but it's manageable. We're not going to see houses going underwater, I don't think. But what it does do when it speeds up is that increases your wind potential because the storm doesn't have as much time to spin down. So as we have this tropical storm now, 70-mile-per-hour tropical storm moving up, as it moves in, the winds pick up. They stay up until it moves away, and they pick up fast. So for places like New Jersey, southeast New York, southeast Pennsylvania right now, and later on this evening, potentially up in the southern Connecticut and then up across New England tonight, it's going to be like a big gale going by with winds maybe 40, 50 miles an hour, higher gusts. So with the root systems being soaked by the rain and the sudden push of strong wind gusts and higher winds coming by, I think we're going to see trees and power lines coming down. So
yeah,
the potential for power outages is pretty high across much of the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic states, from Jersey, let's say northward. A lot of us may be going into the dark here for a little while as we head through the afternoon and tonight.
Yeah, North Carolina still has several tens of thousands of people without power.
And that was with the landfall that occurred. That was when it came in, you know, as a hurricane last night here in Wilmington. Now it's kind of scraping itself up over land. But it's moving so fast that it doesn't have as much time to weaken. So even though it is weakening, per se, because it's over land,
right,
lost that warm source of water, because it's moving so quick, it's kind of like, it's kind of like being pushed along and you just simply don't have enough time to, it's like pushing a skater, you know, and they're spinning fast. They're just getting pushed through. You don't have near enough time for the skater to spin down and come to a stop. That's kind of what's happening. It's just...
Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel, I appreciate it. Good to talk with you again, buddy.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, take care. That is Mark Thibodeau. All right, other topics up next on News Talk 1110 99.3 FM WBT and 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To 2020 beginning, because 2019 was just so awful, and so now what we've got, the we've had the coronavirus, we got the riots, and then we just had a hurricane, we had the murder hornets, remember those? Like, I don't think the script writers can add very much more to this year. I mean, at some point it just doesn't, it's not believable anymore, you know. So I thought I would take this opportunity to bring you some good news, some optimism, okay? An optimistic take on our current condition. It's by Michael Walden, who was a Reynolds Distinguished Professor and Extension Economist in the Department of Agriculture and Resource Economics at NC State University, okay? And so he's a professor at NC State. And he wrote a piece, I think this was in, yeah, Business North Carolina, businessnc.com. And he says, look, we still see unemployed workers. We still see struggling businesses. And yeah, there are a lot of scared people still. But here's some good news. One idea is that bad times can motivate our survival instincts. A business that's on the edge of closing is going to look for ways to revive their sales by offering new products or new services or experiences. Some businesses will totally remake themselves. Sometimes the changes will take a lot of work, and other times they don't. But the important point here is that a lot of businesses will attempt to innovate and adapt to the new circumstances. And the same often happens for workers as well. Workers losing their jobs or having their hours curtailed are often going to rethink their jobs and, you know, what kind of skills do they need, and do they want to make some changes? Do they want to get some more education? Economic history confirms, he says, that hard times are periods of great innovation. More than half of today's Fortune 500 companies were founded during a recession or a period of economic decline. So I guess by that standard, like, we are going to see a lot of businesses get started. The data also confirm economic bad times are periods when more people, both young and old, choose to retrain themselves. And during the last recession, he says, quote, some community colleges and four-year colleges saw their enrollments surge by 20%. So retooling and retraining. When you see this happening during a recession, there are benefits in the long run for the economy. So first, the efforts reduce the number of businesses that are lost. Though any business that is able to retool and survive is going to be stronger afterwards, right? And the more that are able to do that, then it reduces the number of businesses that get closed down. It also makes it easier for unemployed workers to now find new jobs, right? Because there are still businesses open. Second, with economic circumstances different, the remaking of firms and workers help them reshape the economy to what is now possible and desired. I keep thinking, so my in-laws, they live on a farm, brother and sister-in-law, they live in a farm, and they have a very old farmhouse that his grandfather built. And one of the things in their house is this old telephone nook. And I'm not even sure that if you're under the age of 40, you know what that is, right? You've probably never even come across something like this before. It's literally built into the wall. It's like a little shelf, like a recessed shelf in the wall, and that's where the telephone would sit. The old school little, you know, I forget what they call them, but, you know, it's like a long post with the handle at the top and the little ear button. You hold it to your ear and the little rotary dial at the bottom, although I said rotary and you probably don't even know what that is. Yeah, it's the group that meets and they have guest speakers like once a month. Anyway, this phone nook, it's like, I wonder how many businesses and homes? Like, what types of architectural designs are now going to be incorporated to help us create the spacing and safety, right, that everybody is so intent on achieving? And then, you know, 50 years later, people are going to look at this like, what is this thing for? Why do they have plexiglass barriers all throughout their house? So these economic circumstances now prompt change in the economy and a rethinking of what's possible and what is desired and how do you achieve it. Third, innovations often make the economy more efficient, meaning more can be produced with less, thereby improving our standard of living. So, like, for example, he says, quote, restaurants are putting more resources into pickup and delivery. Retailers are expanding their cyber presence at the same time physical outlets are closing. Remote working has surged, and some forecast could approach one-third of the workforce in a few years would all be working from home. Who's it I saw just in the news? I forget what company it was. They were like, we're probably not going to have people come back until, like, 2021. Collectively, they have the potential to alter our spending and reconfigure our economic world. There's a famous economist, Joseph Schumpeter, and he prophetically described what we are coping with today. He said economies move forward using a process that he described as creative destructionism. To create something new often means you have to destroy what was old. So, like, yes, it's sad. It's the buggy whip maker, you know? When the car comes along and there are no more buggies, and then the guy who makes the whips that buggy whip drivers use, like, he's out of work, right? And it's sad for him. But you step back and look at the economy as a whole, at the macro level, and the economy, this creative destruction, it allows for progress much faster than in any kind of a command control setting. Here's another piece of good news. If you work for Lowe's Home Improvement, they did another round of bonuses. All full-time hourly workers getting $300. Part-time seasonal employees get $150. It'll be coming later this month. They put out a news release, and they gave similar bonuses in March, May, and July. And they call these bonuses for unforeseen expenses and hardships. It's $100 million in bonuses total, and it raises their commitment to workers and communities, they say, since the start of the health crisis in March, to $600 million. One of the things that I've been watching is how businesses respond, because you're going to get a really good sense of a business leadership or you know, corporate leadership's ethos. What is their ethic? Same thing with, like, landlords, apartment management companies, right? How are they helping people with the understanding that, like, this is a global pandemic, these are unprecedented times? So Lowe's, they did hourly pay increases, they did a profit sharing bonus, they did telemedicine services to all workers and families, even if they weren't enrolled in the medical plans. Lowe's began requiring all employees to wear a face mask as well, by the way. Like a lot of other national retailers, they announced this month that it would require customers to wear masks. However, the mandate took effect July 20th. The company says, quote, it would not allow its workers to enforce the rule because of concerns for their safety. So all of the good stuff that Lowe's has done there, and the big story that they get, they find themselves at the center of, is that a customer spits on another customer's face for not wearing a mask. So Lowe's adopts the mandate, and now they get to be put in the middle of all of this ridiculousness. Have you heard this story? This is out of California. But there's, well, and there was one yesterday. Did you see this video yesterday of the two guys? They're sitting on a bench. They're, like, drinking coffee or something, or just chilling out talking. And apparently they were not wearing masks. And this couple comes up behind them, and she's, like, yelling at one of the dudes, wear your mask or something. And then she throws her coffee on this guy, and he goes up and he whips up on her boyfriend. Like, and so she gets, and then it gets broken up really quickly, but he beats him for about 20 seconds. But it's like, this is just more and more of these interactions with people. People are going crazy. This whole lockdown, like, all of this stuff, they're going nuts. I'll give you the details on this story out of this Lowe's in California. This is, it just, some people, when you give them a whistle, that all they want to do is blow the whistle, you know? All right, we'll do the story. Get your calls up next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
My name is Pete Callender. I'm filling in for Vince Coakley. He's feeling a little under the weather. And glad to be here with you. If you want to weigh in on a question that I'm about to ask, it's 704-570-1110. Have you had any kind of run-ins over the face masks? This story out of California is ridiculous. I'll give you the details of it. It happened at a Lowe's. But I'm curious if you've encountered anything like this. 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. And also the video I'm sure you've seen making the rounds on the social media and such. It's the guy sitting there and some woman throws a coffee, or maybe it could have been an iced coffee, I don't know, some beverage of some sort on the guy because he's not wearing a mask. They're sitting outside. And this woman is so hysterical about the masks that she dumps the coffee on him. And then he proceeds to jump up and beat her boyfriend. So is this the store's responsibility also to prevent this kind of thing from occurring? Is it an employee's responsibility to intervene? So what happened in California was that a shopper said that another customer repeatedly spat in his face when he told the man to wear a mask. This, according to a lawsuit filed against, Lowe's for some reason, because it's Lowe's fault that you got in a fight with another customer, right? John Burke went to a Lowe's in the Los Angeles neighborhood of West Hills, and he was trying to buy an elevated toilet seat for his wife. I don't know why this is necessary to the story, but it is included in the details. Burke spotted a maskless man in the aisle that he needed to enter. So from at least 40 feet away, he says he asked the man, "How did you get in here without a mask?" Okay, show of hands. Do you think he was simply asking the man from 40 feet away? Or do you think that might actually be better classified or described as yelling at the man? I think probably yelling at the guy from 40 feet away. I don't think you're asking someone. I think you're yelling at someone. How did you get in here without a mask? When Burke asked again, oh, so now it's repeatedly, the man cursed and told him it was none of his business, which technically, legally, that is true. He is under no legal obligation to divulge to you his medical conditions that might prevent him from wearing a mask. Burke then goes to a Lowe's employee and tells the employee that this guy is violating California Governor Gavin Newsom's executive order that requires the wearing of face masks. When the workers didn't do anything, he calls the cops. By the way, there was another one of these types of incidents that occurred at in a photography store in Asheville, where some woman is there with her grandchildren. One of them is in diapers, and there's another guy who's trying to get out, and she won't let him pass because, like, she didn't have the kids wearing masks, and he said something to her, and it caused this whole fight in the middle of this photography store. And then he started, you know, because he's in the photography store, he's a photographer, and he's, you know, videotaping the entire thing. And she's just having this meltdown, demanding that the police be sent out to have this guy arrested or something, because he said to, well, he directed her to perform some sort of an act upon herself that is physically impossible. And she was outraged that he said this in front of her two kids. But the whole time she's on the phone with 911, she keeps saying it over and over and over again, too. So it's like, I can tell you're not obviously offended by what he said. You're just mad that he said it to you, right? And then she's blocking the door, not letting him leave, because she claims she's afraid that he's going to videotape her license plate. Like, what are you going to do with that license plate, even if he does get it? What is he going to do with that? What, do you think he's got some connections at DMV, like in the TV shows and movies, that they can find out where she lives or whatever by looking at the license plate. It's just people have gone crazy. Okay, so this guy in California yells at the dude from across the aisle, you know, down the aisle, 40 feet away. He says, how did you get in here without a mask? He says it again because the guy ignored him. And then the guy's like, screw you. I don't got to tell you nothing. So then he goes to the employee. He says, hey, employee, this guy's not wearing a mask. And the employee's like, I can't do anything. And he's like, I'm calling 911. So then seconds later, he encounters the maskless man again. The man came within 2 feet and spat in his face, quote, four times in rapid succession. This attack, this is according to the lawsuit, quote, this attack occurred about 15 feet from a Lowe's employee who told the attacker, you just spit in his face. Yet he did absolutely nothing. In fact, no Lowe's employee so much as asked Burke if he was all right. The lawsuit said that Lowe's failed to protect customers' health in its stores by allowing in shoppers without masks in violation of public health law. He wants a jury to award him. How much do you think that's worth? Right? Yeah. $20 million. Give me a break. $20 million. At the time, this is insane. We need a loser pay system. We really do for these types of lawsuits. Loser pays. You want to sue somebody for $20 million? You're going to have to pay all of their court fees and maybe damages on top of it for this. What did you expect this customer or the employee to do? Really? Like you picked a fight with the guy. I don't care what you think you were doing, but that is what you did. You picked a fight with another customer. And then like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this person has free will and agency and they're going to react in an unpredictable manner. However, could I have known this to be the case? I don't know anything about this person, right? It's truly amazing. It's like people who lose their minds in road rage incidents. Like you have no idea who that other person in the car is, right? No idea. This person, like, you have no idea who that guy in the story, that guy could have been a mass murderer looking for a saw to chop up his bodies with, right? And you're like, you're not wearing a mask, right? You're lucky he only spit on you. I'm not defending him spitting on you. I'm not saying that's right. But you go after him for that. You don't go after Lowe's. What is Lowe's supposed to do? Jump in the middle of the spit? You want the employee to jump in the middle of this guy that you provoked, right? At the time that he filed this lawsuit, which was a couple weeks ago, he said he continued experiencing symptoms possibly consistent with COVID-19. So he thinks he's got it. But according to the Observer, he doesn't have it. So he says, I think I got COVID. Oh, I got a headache now. Oh my gosh, I got a headache. Oh, I think I got COVID. Oh my gosh, I'm sneezing. I got a runny nose. Does this dinner taste a little bland to you? Oh my gosh, I've lost my sense of taste. See, this is all PTSD. This is why he needs the $20 million. So is this the store's responsibility to prevent this from occurring? Is it an employee's responsibility to intervene? I would submit, no, it is not. Have you encountered any kinds of these mask events, these interactions? I'm not talking side eye people looking at you like, oh, they're not wearing a mask. Like, I don't really care about that. Everybody gets that. Whether you're wearing a mask, you're getting it from people who aren't. And if you're not wearing it, you're getting from people who are. That's the state of our nation right now. We're so politicized that masks are now the political virtue signal. So, have you encountered anything or seen anything like this insanity with the masks? Love to hear the story. 704-570-1110. Mask spitting event or the coffee leads to physical assault event. But I am curious, like, are you having these types of interactions with people? 704-570-1110 and 1-800-WBT-1110. We start off with Mark. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Pete.
Hey.
I haven't had a particular mask story to relate, but this is before the mask mandate in in the city of Rock Hill. I'm walking along. It's a clear sunny day, and I may have a long sleeve shirt on, and that I have this individual that's under 35 coming toward me on the sidewalk, and is wearing a mask and has gloves on for hard work. I really had to laugh, so I had to do something myself sometimes at a particular business, and I stopped doing it, although I still pack over the prescription non-sealing safety goggles.
Okay.
Making a statement about how silly the mask mandates are. So so in case somebody thinks of a mask and wants to talk to me about something else, I can't get hit by spit if I'm wearing safety goggles on.
So eyes.
Okay. Am I being Adrian Monk? And they go, no, I just put the safety goggles away and keep them hidden.
So does this generally get a positive reaction from people? I feel like there are some details on this story that I'm a little unclear about, like the long sleeve shirt. What was the point of that detail? Did I miss that?
Oh, it's my long sleeve shirt is that I'm sun sensitive. That's all.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, that was an interesting detail to throw in there, I guess. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call. All right, Fred, how about you, Fred? Have you got a mask story, a mask altercation story?
Good morning, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm still tired, old, and ugly. Nothing changes. But anyway, I like to go ride the public bus every once in a while because it's good, cheap entertainment. And, it costs nothing, and you get to ride around and watch people act stupid sometimes. But anyway, so I get
Well, generally, Fred, you can really do that anywhere, honestly.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got on the public bus just to see how people would react to the new mask mandate. So I'm on this bus, and a gentleman, I'm using that word selectively, gets on the bus, and the driver says, sir, you must wear a mask to get on the bus, you know, state law dictates, mm-hmm. Local ordinance. It's against my religious preference to wear a mask. And she said, I absolutely understand your religious preference, but you can practice your religious preference outside on the sidewalk rather than ride this bus. But if you ride this bus, you're going to wear a mask. He just flips out, and I mean, gets into a loud altercation. Next thing I know, here comes the police to have a conversation with him off the bus, and then the bus pulls off, and I'm going, why in the world did you go to so much trouble to not wear the mask? Just put the mask on for the 10 minutes rather than possibly face jail time for nothing. I mean, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
For everybody involved, the police, the driver. Of course, I was getting entertained, so my time was well spent.
Right, but, you were the least victimized on the bus, right.
But why do you go to a Lowe's knowing that a lot of construction workers come in and out of a place like that and then pick an argument with a guy who's probably been up on a roof and at 95 degrees, he's already hot, aggravated, tired.
He's like me on his fourth trip to the store, because every time he goes there, he forgets one thing and has to go back. So, yeah, it's
right.
Just a terrible chain of events. Yeah, he's setting himself up for the altercation that occurred, and maybe that was the whole point here. So,
but, Pete, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Fred.
Your podcast is outstanding. I always comment on you on Facebook, on Twitter, but
Well, I appreciate that. Yes, Fred, thank you. Good to talk with you. And you can do what Fred does and get the podcast, but also on Twitter. We have a lot of fun on Twitter. It's at Pete Kaliner, Kaliner. Let me go to Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan. Welcome.
Howdy. How you doing, sport?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. You know, this whole Lowe's incident reminds me of something that happened about 15 years ago. There was, I don't know, a guy robbing a 7-Eleven store, and the clerk apprehended the guy and arrested. So the
I had a feeling that was going to happen. The call just didn't feel right from the very beginning. I'm not sure why. All right, Jonathan, feel free to call back. I was interested in the story. Let me go to Ryan. Hello, Ryan. I have about a minute for you, a minute and a half.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, yeah, I just want to say it's starting to get really grim, like really grim, and not even just driving around looking at the different businesses. I went in one of the chain discount stores not too long ago, and I forgot my mask. I usually only wear the cotton one anyway. And I walk in, I'm not wearing it, I'm not wearing it, and the clerks kind of got upset, like instantly visibly upset. And so I pulled my shirt up over my face and grabbed my lemonade and went up to the counter. And they said, that's not going to be acceptable. They immediately called the manager, but the way that they did it was kind of shocking because they were almost like in a panic that I wasn't wearing this thing. So the lady comes over and says, sir, you need to be wearing a mask. I'm like, I have plenty of cotton between me and you. I'll only be a second. There's two people in line. She throws her hands up and says, well, I won't say exactly what she said, but she says, gosh darn Anglo-Saxons. And I started laughing. They didn't like the fact that I was laughing. So I just put my lemonade up on the counter and walked off.
Wow. Ryan, I appreciate it. Glad there was no physical altercation. People have just, this is what a panic looks like, folks. Like, you heard about it throughout history, maybe seen some TV or movie about it. This is what it looks like.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.